just for today, we are here for eternity. So let's all remind ourselves of this. This message is the secret that was hidden from everyone since the beginning of the time. Aren't you curious to see what that message is? What is this message that has been hidden for since the beginning? This is the text that Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. The version is New Century Version. Now, I don't know if you have noticed the word hidden over there. It's the same in the bulletin. It has blood. And what do you think that blood is? A symbol of the blood of Christ, okay? The microphone, please. Okay, so today's message, the title is hidden. When we see the word hidden in this context is an adjective. It's trying to describe something. So let's say, we hear sometimes as hidden secrets. There are people that work so hard to try to find out things about other people. They are so desperate. And usually those that are so work so hard to find out things about other people have a lot of hidden secrets themselves. Then there are fees. I don't know how many of you have signed a contract or signed an agreement and find out, oops, I did not know that, but it's here. Here where? In a tiny little print, so tiny that some of you here use the computer, right? And or cell phone. Sometimes you want to get an extra app. They said you have to register. And some of you just registered and click everything that says click here, but you don't read. Every click that you give, you're giving part of your life away. Are you scared yet? Let me scare you a little bit more. Legally, these companies, they try to get, to squish as much as they can, get close to the edge, so that they can still be legal, but almost illegal. So they use the hidden process. It's up to you to search. It's up to you to read before you do the famous click. There are a lot of things hidden, and you have to be aware. Not only the things that you can see, especially the things that you cannot. There are so many things we can see and we should avoid. But be careful, because there are a lot of things that you cannot see that is there just to catch you. So be careful with the fees, with the little clause that a lawyer sophisticatedly put over there. By the way, when I watch television and there is a promotion on television or on the internet, and they say this, we're going to give you this, and they put this ad on the screen. And then have you seen they put this tiny little thing under? Every single time I see somebody or a company advertising something and put those tiny little print, do you know what I read? Don't trust me. By the way, that's a short version of all those little things that it says there. I just save you a lot of time. It says, don't trust me, because there's something hidden. If somebody takes so much time to try to hide something, it is a big wake up for you. Don't get involved with something that are not open about. So watch out for the secrets, for the fees, and the defects. Most of the people that point defects on others are those that hide a lot of defects on themselves. Or sometimes some of you buy something because you say, oh, there's no problem because it says lifetime warranty. You have no idea how much people are fooled by those lifetime warranty. And it lasts only for 2 months. And you take it back, it says here lifetime warranty. Okay, here, get another one if you are that blessed. Sometimes a company doesn't have a lifetime warranty. The company itself, once they start selling things and things are bad, what they do, they just file bankruptcy and get out of it, and you have to pay for it. So please be careful. Then the positive side, hidden talents. Every single person here has a hidden talent, every single person. And how do we find out, how do we discover those hidden talents? It's when we have a little bit more courage and we become a little bit more daring and we start to do the things that we dream to do, but because we are shy and for other reasons, we do not do it. So a talent needs to be developed, needs to be revealed. And all of us have talents. What about a hidden treasure? I know there are even television series about people going to the sea to try to see a treasure that has been for more than 500 years on the bottom of the sea, and billions of dollars. And some people even are so attracted to those programs, they watch and they dream about find a hidden treasure. I found one when I was 16 years old and have made me a very rich man. I don't know why you're not taking time to dig for that treasure, because it's worth. And the most of all the treasures is, of course, the truth. And so when the Bible text, the scripture for today says, this message is the secret that was hidden. Nothing can be more a bigger blessing to each one of us when we embrace the truth. For everyone since the beginning of the time, but now is made known to God's holy people. And that is talking about you and I. What is that made known to us? The truth that we will be celebrating today. It was faith that made him. Who do you think this him is talking about here? It's Moses. Okay, this Moses. It's not Jesus, because remember, when it's Jesus, I make capital and I put a different color, so you know that. So this him here is Moses. So it was faith that made him, Moses, establish the Passover. And this version says establish. Moses did not establish the Passover. God did. Okay, but it implies that. It says, and order the blood to be sprinkled on the doors, so that the angel of death, who is that? Who is the angel of death? The destroyer would not kill who he was trying to kill, the firstborn sons of the Israelites. That's Hebrews 11:28, Good News Translation. Now, I have this same verse in another version. It says, his faith was made him celebrate Passover. I like that, celebrate Passover. He sprinkled the blood of animals on the doorpost so that the firstborn sons of the people of Israel would not be killed by the destroying angel. And some other version even saying, so the firstborn would not be destroyed by the, would be not killed by the destroyer. Continue. Who was supposed to pass over? Notice that I separate the word, because Passover is a compound word. Who was supposed to pass over? Now, here's the point that it will... Probably some of you will be not prepared for this, but I will share this because it needs to be shared. And that's part of the truth that we need to know. If you look in the book of Exodus, when it's talk about this incident, the 10th plague, you see there that says, and the Lord came to kill the firstborn. The Lord is going to kill the firstborn? But that's what Moses understood. Why? Because in the concept of Moses, he did not have the same understanding about Satan and destroyer the way we do. And took the coming of Christ. Christ came and he revealed. So you look into the entire Old Testament, you find Satan as a proper noun mentioned once in 1 Chronicles. But you come to the New Testament, then you find not only the devil, but so many names the evil one, the liar, the murderer, and there are more than 50 different titles for him. So what made the difference is when Christ came, he says, I came to show you the Father. So when they saw something that was typically blame on God, now Jesus says, no, that's not my Father. That is him. And I point to the destroyer. And this is what this experience should teach us about. Who was supposed to pass over? The destroyer. Who did the hiding? Who was doing the hiding? Who was doing the hiding? Who did the hide? Who hide the people of Israel? Their faith on the promised Messiah. That was the symbol of their blood on the door. That blood was not any blood. That blood was the blood of a firstborn lamb, representing Christ in the future. It was a promise. And so when we believe by faith, we are set free. And that was a sign. Those that put the blood, the angel, the destroyer, couldn't see their house. It became invisible. And it says, why was this destroyer trying to kill the firstborn? I'd like to ask you, why do you think that this destroyer wants to kill the firstborn? So that you and I will be lost forever. He was trying to stop the Messiah from being born. He knew from Genesis 3:15 clearly that he has to destroy the seed of the woman, because by destroying the seed of the woman, the Messiah would never have been born. And when he tried, and the Lord always by his grace keep hiding us. The target, it was the firstborn, but actually it was you and I. We were the target, so that we would not have eternal life if the Messiah could not be born. And that's the reason why. The Passover actually is just a clear evidence of God's grace. Without the blood of Christ, the destroyer would have destroyed every single one of us. But it was not possible. Now, this is, I put in your bulletin, like a keyhole showing that there is somebody from inside looking outside. So Paul said this, he is the key that opens all the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes I like to say this to you, and I heard this from another pastor as well. Some of us say, how many, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, how many believers do we teach in a Seventh-day Adventist church? Before you're baptized, how many believes that you have to be familiar with before you're baptized? 28. Okay. What about if you say, 28 is too many. Can you compromise with 20 only? Nope. Let me skip 8, at least 8. It's a high percentage, it's 1/3. What about 27? Nope. If I can just leave one out, that's only one. So what makes me a believer? A believer is the one who accepts everything according to the Bible. Everything that the Lord has to reveal to us. And he grants us this wisdom. But if you have 28 beliefs, but you do not know the most fundamental of all the things that you have to know, if you do not know the Father who he is, all your beliefs may not have any meaning. You find people sometimes, they are very rigid with what they believe. And yet, they are very mean. There are people that sometimes, they claim to be very religious, and yet they are so mean. Why? Because they know the rules, but they don't know who they serve. Isn't that sad? We need to know that everything that we believe needs to be applied under the grace of the one who loved us even when we did not deserve to be loved. If we really practice, that is the gospel, that is the good news. And as they are good news, not sour news, okay? It says, during the final plagues of in Egypt, the firstborn children, and even the firstborn of the livestock, were the target of the angel of death throughout the whole country. Why? All the firstborn. Satan did not want to take any risk. He says, I'll kill them all so I don't miss one. Many centuries later, when it was told to the king in Judea that in a city of Bethlehem, there was a little boy, a firstborn, that was supposed to be the king of kings. So what did that king did? Send the soldiers there to the village and says, kill them all. Every single boy from the age of 2 and younger, kill all of them. And the Bible says, how sad was Bethlehem because all the mothers were crying. Everyone, there was death in every house. Just like it was in Egypt, now was also many centuries later in Bethlehem. Satan never changed his approach. He wants to stop you from being saved at all cost. The destroyer, it keeps working. They have a king ruling over them who is the angel in charge of the abyss. Anybody here knows what the abyss, what the Bible talks about, the abyss, what the Bible is talking about? When there was a war in heaven, the angel, Satan, and all his demons were sent to the abyss. In that context, abyss was a place that has no life. That was the word abyss. But then it says that this earth is going to turn into abyss as well. Why? Because where God is not present, it is an abyss. Your life can be an abyss if you do not have God in the center of your life. Now, this angel has his sword. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And those of you that knows a little bit of Hebrew knows A-B is for father. And Don is destruction. So it's literally, his name is the father of destruction. But some people say the destroyer. In Greek, his name is Apollyon, which means the destroyer, the one who caused destruction. That is his nature. That's what he became the moment that he turned his back on God. And by the way, every single person who turns their back to God, and we see in our society right now, our society has become extremely violent. There are people that are they don't need excuse just to go and commit a crime. And this is basically the same mentality, that suicidal mentality. Not only they want to cause death, they don't value anybody's life, but they don't value their lives either. Revelation 19, verse 11, Good News Translation. Now, the angel of death is also the destroyer. The Lord is my strength and my what? Shield. What is the shield? Is to keep me hidden from the destroyer. So the Lord is my strength, and he is the one who keeps me hidden from the works of the destroyer. I trust him. Do you?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
And he helps me. And he will help you too. That's why I'm happy. And it says, and I praise him with my song. Psalm 28, verse 7, New Century Version. But you are my shield, my protection, the one who keeps me hidden from the destroyer. And you give me victory and great honor. What a victory is talking about here. Victory over sin. Psalm 3:3, Contemporary English Version. You are my hiding place and my shield. It says, I hope in your word. Psalm 119, verse 114, New King James. Every word of God is pure. Every word. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. And then Paul says this, for you have died. What Paul says this? He's talking about all of us. He's talking to you. He says, for you have died. When have you died? In baptism. All right? If you have baptized, you have been baptized, it says, and your life is hidden. So when you are baptized, your life is hidden from the destroyer with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3, Good News Translation. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the image that I want you to see. I put this together. There was the door. The blood was there. But when the destroyer flew over, this is what he saw. The door disappeared. That's what the blood of Christ does. Today when we celebrate with the same commitment, that God's grace, that is what God's grace does. The hidden by the blood of the Lamb. The only way we can escape eternal condemnation if we are embraced by God's grace. Passover equals to communion. If we have communion with God, he is our shield. Without communion with him, we have no... Now, some of you have seen this, and I like to repeat to use again. The eternal shield. What is the eternal shield? A communion with God. A constant communion. What is the word in communion that you see there? You and I. Do you see there? That is God is speaking to you. Communion means you and I. Let me play again so you can see if some of you notice. Now, like communion, and then look what happened. You and I. That's communion. All right? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, 29. New Century Version. And this is just a warning for us. It says this. Everyone ought to examine themselves. You must examine yourselves. When you come to church, and if you have some problems that you have to fix that before you take part of communion. But some people say, oh, I forgot to apologize, I forgot to do this, so I won't take communion. That is worse. So you better always examine yourselves before you eat the bread and drink from the cup. And then he says this in verse 29. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ. What happens? Eat and drink judgment on themselves. Sometimes I feel kind of not very comfortable to use this text because some people use this as an excuse not to participate, which makes things worse. This text is trying to tell us, be careful, do the right thing for the right reasons. That's the way I take it. And I hope you take the same way. This is a prayer that Jesus Christ made in your behalf and on my behalf. So see what he says. He says this, I pray that the members of Vista and those that are visiting the church today will be one. And that's the communion we. May they be in us, you and me, and I am in you, just as you are in me and I am in you. And then he says, may they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. And that's what communion is all about, brothers and sisters. John 7:21, Good News Translation. And now, as we come together to celebrate communion, this is the invitation that the Lord sends to us. Christ's invitation was, he said, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. He asked this question, do you understand what I have done for you? John chapter 13, verse 12. Verse 13, it says, you call me teacher and Lord, and right so, for that's what I am. And he continued, verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. This is not an option. This is part of communion. Some people feel very uncomfortable when I say this, but that's what the Bible says, okay? I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, some of you may know and understand that why do we have a foot wash in this church and some other churches they don't? We don't guide ourselves based on what other people do. We base ourselves in what the Lord Jesus Christ did and what he asked us to do. So we follow his commandment. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, it's up to you to decide. You will be blessed if you do them. Did you come to church seeking blessings? That is the opportunity. Now, a person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. This is Jesus Christ talking to Peter, because Peter said, you're the master. How am I going to let you wash my feet? No chance. And this is what Jesus basically told Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no communion with me. If you want to be one with me, we have to participate. And that's what, unless I wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. I hope that you take that close to your heart, and I hope when you celebrate the communion, remember the elements themselves does not save you. They are just a symbol to allow you to participate, to allow you to witness that God's grace is sufficient for you, that you embrace. And remember, God has always said to us, if we accept his grace, he will be a shield to us. I like to be hidden from the destroyer. If you want to be also, take part of communion. Be one with him. So at this time, we're going to go to different locations. As you go out, you turn right. The first room here is the multi-purpose room, overflow room they call. That's when the ladies is going to be. And then all the classes end, the first one in the kinder class, that is for the men, right? And then the couples will be the next class to the other end, we call cradle roll class. That was for couples and family if they want to do it together. So at this time, I'd like to ask everyone, if you are not participating for any reason that you choose not to, if you decide to stay on the sanctuary, we like to ask everyone to please be aware that this is not a social hall. This is a sanctuary. And so please, if you do need to talk about some social things, would you kindly step outside and share with talk? But as you're here in the sanctuary, open your Bible, read, and keep that awareness, okay? This is God's sanctuary. God's blessing. Now at this time, let's go to those rooms so we have our communion. participate in the foot washing.